B-Pod Studios.
Hi, this is Kevin Owens, and you're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Great name, Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast. So what does that mean? You guys aren't allowed to discuss if anything happens outside the ropes? What if somebody gets clotheslined over the top rope? Do you guys cover the Royal Rumble? These are questions I need answered. Anyway, you're listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with two geniuses who came up with this name.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Good evening, Mike.
James, I just got home, and I got a lot of crap to get off my mind. I really do. Really furious.
Go right ahead.
So, you know, the WWE, the whole last couple of weeks here, and the whole month of October has just been, I think, a Debbie Downer for fans in general. What had so much promise for a great month of wrestling with the first SmackDown on Fox, brand new network that first Friday, thought it was a good show until the very end where Cain Velasquez comes out. Okay, sort of a shock. Yeah, not a lot of people know who he is, but you have Rey Mysterio there as a voice, and then a week and a half later, you put Rey Mysterio on Raw, so what the hell is the point of having Cain Velasquez when he's not going to talk? And then they tell you that you're getting Cain Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar. Cool, great, but I live in the United States of America. I have to watch that at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday? Put it on pay-per-view at the Survivor Series, at the Royal Rumble, even at your next mid-show in between your major. And listen, I love Braun Strowman, really do, but who the hell gives a about him versus Tyson Fury at the Crown Jewel? This is what the WWE has gotten us into, crap that we don't give a flaming about. It is garbage. Fans don't care about this stuff, especially when your matches are not going to be on a prime time field for them at 2 p.m. And looking at this Crown Jewel pay-per-view, there are two tag team matches. One with a 10-man tag team match. Who cares? I know the Team Hogan one and Ric Flair, whoop-de-doo. Then you have a 9-team tag team turmoil match for the World Cup. Who cares about that? And then, of course, Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez, Braun Strowman, Tyson Fury, as I mentioned. But Seth Rollins versus The Fiend, that ship has sailed now. They had the chance in The Fiend. Hell in the Cell finish was garbage for the month of October. That killed the morale for everybody. And are you trying to put the title on The Fiend? If you are you putting all the titles on SmackDown? I can't get a read here on what the hell the WWE is doing. The draft was a disaster. The month of October has sucked. It needs to end for this company right now. Get through Crown Jewel, and you can clearly see it the way it is being perceived by fans, Jimmy. It is very hard to watch WWE right now. Had to get that out of my chest. Sorry.
No, that's good 3 minutes of content right there.
Woo!
Feel better?
Sorry for swearing. Sorry for swearing.
No, no worries. We all have our moments.
Yes.
So let's pick through this a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
Who cares about this is your big question. And the answer is the Prince of Saudi Arabia, who's paying $50 million for True. Vince McMahon to bring his circus down to where he lives and dance for him. So that's who cares. And that's unfortunate because there are fans who go to these shows and watch the shows and invest in the shows, and they are hopeful that their opinion matters. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Yep.
But right now, the opinion that matters are the two TV networks, USA and Fox, who are paying billions of dollars. Yes, that's billions plural, for the next 5 years, and a Saudi prince who pays about $50 million a show for the next 8 years?
Five.
Oh, I thought the Saudi deal was 10 years.
Was it 10? Okay, I thought it was five. But okay, I'll go with the 10. I can do that.
10 makes me look better.
No, it, you know, it is. You're right. It's a 10-year partnership deal.
Wow. And the Saudi prince is trying to buy up all these events. Deontay Wilder is boxing down there for $75 million for one fight. So the prince has all this American money, and he's spending it because he wants to be entertained. So that's kind of where it comes from. So October has not been great for the WWE. I think I have come to the conclusion that I'm just not going to watch their week-to-week television shows. I'll check in for pay-per-view, and I'll watch highlights on YouTube. Or if something reads well, we all DVR everything, and I'll go back and watch something on DVR, unless it is a, and this is something I kind of want to touch on later in the podcast, is a favorite wrestler of mine. So like Kevin Owens, Charlotte Flair, those types of wrestlers, like I'll tune in for their stuff. I'll see what Becky's doing because Becky's interesting. I'll see what The Fiend is doing because The Fiend's interesting. Things like that. I checked out SmackDown on Friday because Roman Reigns versus Nakamura, a match that I don't recall seeing, and that doesn't mean it didn't happen. I just may have missed it, for the Intercontinental Championship. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. They're going to put the Intercontinental title on Roman Reigns and really load up their championships on Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, and they'll figure out the tag team situation because the revival blows if they're still the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, which they might be. and the Bayley character, which I kind of want to talk about when we answer some Twitter questions, that interests me. That interests me a lot. And then they gave us a non-finish, which sent me off the deep end, and I turned off the show. But I was interested in SmackDown. And those SmackDown numbers, by the way, the +7 on the DVR, over 4 million views. So this idea that they lost a million viewers from one week to the next is kind of a myth. They got them later than the overnight suggested. And you're not going to get the same number because you don't have The Rock. What else can we pick through your issues? WWE has not had a good month.
No.
And where they go from there, I kind of don't know. Yeah, I was into the draft. I was 100% into the draft.
Yeah, and they got us. They got us good for it. And it was a fart in church. It really was.
I try to keep reminding myself that they're carnies. And the idea is they want your money. But you're not going to walk away with any prizes.
Right.
And they're the circus, right? And we watch because we're invested, and I've been a fan for 30 plus years. You've been a fan for however many years?
Yeah, 25 plus.
Yeah. So that's kind of what it is, and we keep coming back cuz we're hoping that there's good coming.
Right.
And
right.
they have the ability to do good. And one of the things that they did really well was how they booked and promoted Kofi Kingston.
Right, right.
Up until a point.
Yep.
And they did everything right with Kofi Kingston, except Kofi never had that standout match.
Right.
He never had that marquee performance, or at least I didn't feel like he did. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what they have to figure out going forward, is how do they have this marquee performance? And, you know, they beat Brock beat Kofi in less than 10 seconds, and we all got upset about it, but Brock Lesnar needed to make an impact on the first show, and the idea was to get Brock to Cain Velasquez, which brings me to a question I want to ask you, Mike.
Yep.
All this mainstream publicity that they're supposedly getting, Cain Velasquez, Tyson Fury, I almost said Brian Fury, of course, trainer for Chaotic Wrestling. You want to check out? He's a friend of mine.
Talented guy.
Wonderful person, as far as I know. Trainer to many. What has this gotten them? Is this going to get them more people to subscribe to the network? Is this going to get more people to buy the pay per view at 3 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon?
Right.
I don't know. I know historically, like, I don't think Brock Lesnar is the draw that he once was.
No.
And I don't know that a UFC fan who's already seen Cain Velasquez beat Brock Lesnar, and there are a million of them for that pay-per-view buy, I don't know that they're going to invest in a WWE pro wrestling show, sports entertainment show. I don't think they are.
Right. And I think that's where Fox is just trying to capitalize on that with the UFC here to grow their new audience and, you know, to gain that there with Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez, and now Tyson Fury, Braun Strowman. They want the big guys in there. They want larger than life figures. Just to touch on something real quick, Jimmy, just to what you said there, we keep going back where there's hope. But, you know, as you said, you've been a fan for over 30 years, and I have been for over 25 years. I'll go back to the Velasquez thing in a minute, but I do want to touch on this real quick. For myself and for you personally, we really enjoy making friendships from wrestling. We enjoy going to events and making it a lifetime of a memory. Meaning, the last 5 years, we've gone to WrestleMania. We've traveled the country to go to WrestleMania. That is a big part of my life. You can call me a loser all you want. I don't care. I enjoy that. I really do. And for what WWE is giving me for a product right now, it's disappointing. And I don't even want to go to WrestleMania right now for what I've been seeing as of the last month. That is what I really should have capped it off on. But it's very disappointing with investing all this time into what they're giving me right now, not looking forward to it.
So my question is, you bring up a very interesting topic, because as we sit here today, there is no matchup that, like, I'm not going to Tampa this year. I've made that decision, especially with SummerSlam coming to Boston. I'm not going to Tampa.
Okay.
Mainly because there's no matchup that I'm interested in seeing that's currently available to us. So I'll ask you this question, Mike.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Is there a matchup right now that would make you be more invested in WrestleMania and really like excite you for WrestleMania?
I'll tell you right now, it's not an everyday wrestler. It would be going off the rumors of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I think it would be good for him and John Cena. I really do.
So there's a rumor out there that there's Seth Rollins and Steve Austin. Because Steve Austin has said he's got one more match in him, this, that, and the other thing. He might have one more match, I should be clear. And Seth Rollins is always up for it or whatever.
And now Hulk Hogan. So you could
Hogan wants Cena. One more match.
Yeah, he wants it. And that's pretty much his home base right there, Tampa. So, you know, that would probably be the only thing. But right now, for the current roster, no, I don't. Maybe if Ronda Rousey comes back and surprises me, I'd be a little more with her and, I'd say, Becky. And throw Charlotte in there, too, for the triple threat.
To do a one-on-one this time. They have to do Ronda and Becky.
Go one-on-one? Okay,
yeah,
I'd be fine with that.
That's the play there.
I'd be okay with that. That's really – I'm not, like, super into that, but I'd be okay with that. Other than that, nothing. Sorry.
And that's kind of my feeling right now is – there isn't a matchup that they can put on the board, at least in my mind, that would make me enthusiastic to go down to Tampa and sit through a 6 or 7 hour show.
And Jimmy, I'll tell you right now, there's no tag team that I'm heavily invested in. The tag team division in WWE is a joke. It's too bad. They're throwing it away. There's too much talent out there. They don't care about it. It's really an afterthought, if you know what I mean. They don't care.
For me, it goes to this whole thing of which wrestlers am I invested in? Which superstars am I invested in?
Yeah.
And so I did have a thought of going down to Tampa on Thursday, doing whatever event they had Thursday, whatever event they had Friday, and then NXT, going to NXT, and then flying home on Sunday and being on my couch in time to watch WrestleMania on my couch.
That's not bad. It's not a bad thought.
Because NXT, I think, has the match that I'm really kind of most interested in. If it gets that far, and I don't know necessarily that it will, and that's some sort of combination of Tommaso Ciampa against Adam Cole.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Like, that's a match that I really want to see.
Sure.
And I don't think it'll wait until Tampa, but it might. But you just don't know. And to see where kind of Velveteen Dream is going.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to transition, unless you have more thoughts on this whole...
I just had to get it out of my off my chest there. It was a long flight back, Jimmy. I'm very cranky after all that.
Yeah, so. No worries. We all have our travel issues.
It was an early morning, and once you get a delay like that, too, it's cranky old Mike tonight.
And there's one performer that I kind of want to spotlight right now, and that is Kevin Owens. Mm. I'm a huge fan of his work, and maybe if Kevin Owens was in a featured program, like if it was him against Brock or him against, him against Brock, I think could do some good stuff.
Okay.
Would that encourage me to get on a flight to Tampa? I'm not sure. But Kevin Owens is somebody who I've been a fan of since his Feitstein fight stuff and his package pile drive, everyone running Ring of Honor. And I'm of the opinion that he should be challenging for championships, whether that's the Intercontinental, whether that's the WWE, whether that's the Universal, the US. He should be in some sort of featured championship program. And some would say Kevin Owens has been in a featured story working with Shane McMahon. But the problem is that we saw this story, and we've been kind of seeing this story for 2 years now. It's kind of run its course. And while they had a fabulous ladder match, but there's no follow-up on it.
No follow-up.
Instead, they draft Kevin Owens to Raw. And when he should be on SmackDown, because you just focused on him as a Fox SmackDown guy, like that's the audience that he should be on. He should be on your number one show, and that's Fox. Mm-hmm. And what's very disappointing, and it kind of shows the Vince McMahon, I'm interested in a character, I'm bored with a character, flip-floppiness, which goes week to week, because realistically, Vince has one plan in mind, and that is whatever his WrestleMania main event is. Mm-hmm. And whether that's Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch, or whether that's Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, because I think those are two matches that you're going to see in Tampa, which one I'm for, the other not so much, but I understand that they're still trying. But Kevin Owens on his Twitter account, within the last week or so, after he was drafted to Raw, he wrote, quote, "Last night, the WWE digital team asked me for my thoughts after I was drafted to Raw. I gave them a very honest, heartfelt answer. They decided not to post the footage because I appeared to be angry. I was angry. I still am angry. Round three, looks like I still have lots to prove," unquote. So, to me, that translates that we're going to see an angry Kevin Owens on Monday night, right? Kevin Owens is going to be given a microphone and express himself on live television, because that would be a natural follow-up, right?
Yeah.
Are we actually going to see that? Because it doesn't feel like that we're going to.
Nope.
For me, Kevin Owens is a top star in this company. And his ring work is top-notch. His promos are awesome. He should be on the Fox show.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it feels like he's just going to be another guy on Monday Night Raw.
Well, hold on.
He wasn't even booked on WrestleMania New York this year.
I know.
How topsy-turvy his relationship with Vince is. Like, one minute he's told
he's with a McMahon.
He's with Shane for a good 2 years.
Right.
But it didn't feel like it was an important part of the show.
No. Nope.
At least for the time of the program. There were points where I felt like it was a focal point. The headbutt of Vince, like, that's a big moment. And I don't feel like they properly capitalized on it following that. Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens during Kevin Owens' Universal Championship run was a good, good story. Every week, there was something I felt interesting about Kevin Owens on that show. Then Goldberg destroys him in 10 seconds. The match at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, I thought was good. But Vince McMahon, in the immediate aftermath, told Kevin Owens, it's on his DVD if you want to go check this out, that it was a terrible match. And then Kevin Owens is forgotten about for the summer, and then he's programmed with the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Man's.
Yeah.
And Forgotten About might be a little strong. I think that was the summer he did the program with Sami Zayn, the Fight Forever feud, and then him and AJ kind of passed the U.S. title back and forth, and I didn't think it was his best work. I don't know that he would say it's his best work.
No, probably not. Probably not. But, you know, I know you said that something I picked out of your rant with Kevin Owens, and I agree with you. He's a very underutilized talent and someone that really... You know, WWE is just throwing away. They don't really utilize it to their advantage. And as a Universal Champion, sure, he did lose to Goldberg at that Fastlane before WrestleMania 33 in Orlando. But, you know, building up to it, that was a pretty good little run there as a Universal Champ. And to have him as the champion, that's – and even what he did last year after WrestleMania, turning on Kofi Kingston, that was great. It's awesome, you know, having a feud there for the WWE Championship. You know, do something along those lines. Again, he has the ability – I've said it before and I'll say it again, Jimmy. When you have the ability to be a heel and also a face, that makes the best performers of the business right there. And Kevin Owens is one of them right there. But to what you were saying, though, you know, have him on SmackDown. I get what you're saying, you know, but from what I saw after the draft, I don't think it's that big a deal if he's on Raw. I really don't.
I think he's lost in the shuffle on Raw. Who is his natural matchup on Raw?
Now you go with Seth Rollins. If you make him a heel, you could.
So, like, I'm all for Kevin Owens being a heel, but then you take away the stunner from him.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think Kevin Owens has a chip on his shoulder that he wants to be the champion as a good guy.
How about Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton?
That kind of doesn't do anything for me because I'm just Randy
I'm just
Orton
thinking
had
scenarios.
So Randy Orton had a real chance to make Kofi Kingston, and I don't think he succeeded in doing that. Yeah. Like I was really looking forward to Kevin. To Randy Orton versus Kofi Kingston, and both of those matches disappointed me.
Yeah, they didn't give it too much a chance. See,
this is one of the problems with WWE is they need to find somebody who can verbally go back and forth with Kevin Owens. Who is that on the roster? It's Paul Heyman. That's the answer. Right. It's Paul Heyman.
Well, yeah, he's the best one. I can't think of a performer that's
like. Are you going to have Becky Lynch and Kevin Owens go?
No, can't
promo
can't
for you, promo.
Need a mixed tag, obviously, but that's not going to happen. We've seen Sami Zayn before, but
he's on SmackDown. He's Nakamura's mouthpiece.
Oh right, okay, yep. AJ Styles.
We've seen that program.
Yeah, is Daniel Bryan on Raw or SmackDown?
Daniel Bryan's on SmackDown.
Yeah, so he's out.
That was supposed to be your WrestleMania main event, but then Kofi Mania took over and they bumped Kevin Owens totally off Mania, which Kevin didn't even go to WrestleMania because he wasn't booked.
Right. That's bizarre. And he had a freaking 6-hour show. How do you not? 8-hour show.
You know who ended up with his tickets? Platform. Quick aside, Jerry Karabas and Robbie Fox ended up with Kevin Owens' tickets.
Good for Jared. Good for him.
He's awesome.
That's awesome. Oh, I love it.
So my main point is Kevin Owens is somebody who should be a more prominent player in WWE because he checks all of their boxes.
Right.
And it's one of the problems that I think WWE has is for whatever reason they can't or they pick the wrong star and this guy doesn't get beat. This guy doesn't beat. Although they did the right thing with Kofi. They did everything right with Kofi, so it proves that they can do this.
Right.
But I just think Kevin Owens is somebody who should be protected and should be put in a championship opportunity and not against AJ. If it's another program for the U.S. title, I guess I'm okay with it. But if you paint out a scenario, and this is... if you push out a scenario that is telling me that Bray Wyatt wins the Universal Championship, which makes him Raw exclusive,
right?
And then it's Bray Wyatt versus Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
I think that interests me.
Well,
because it's something we haven't seen.
But you can't do it. He's on SmackDown.
No, if Bray Wyatt wins the Universal Championship, they would have to make him a Raw exclusive.
Which I think he should be on Raw. He really should be.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'd rather have Paul Heyman booking that character than Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah.
Or writing for that character. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter because Bruce and Ed Koski is kind of the head writer who oversees everything.
Right.
And it filters all through Vince McMahon.
Right.
So that's my thing. Bottom line is push Owens, push is what I would tell you.
I like it. Yeah.
Mike, I know you wanted to talk about the Jim Ross, Eric Bischoff comments.
Sure. So Jim Ross in his podcast, very successful one over the last few months, grilling JR. And he made a comment on there about Eric Bischoff, of course, being let go earlier this week, which we touched on last week. But it was Jim Ross's first public comments about Bischoff. And Jim Ross did say that WWE hired Eric Bischoff to fire him. I did not hear the whole interview. I just read the context of it. Jimmy, I know you heard it.
I heard it. JR was on fire. He was off a flight that didn't go his way. And he made the mistake.
Sounds familiar.
He made the mistake of looking at his mentions on Twitter, and it red-assed him.
Oh, okay. All right.
So he came in house of fire.
Yeah, kind of like me.
He essentially was talking about how most people in WWE get hired to get fired. Most managers and most coaches are hired to be fired. It doesn't usually end well.
Right.
And specifically,
but I love this quote with Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, go ahead.
That one. Yeah.
You can read it verbatim if you have it in front of you.
Okay. He said, this whole scenario is set up for a succession process. Do you think that Bruce is safe? You think Bruce got a job like a Supreme Court justice for life? Are you kidding? He don't think that. I guarantee you don't think that he knows that his time will come. It's like football coaches. They get hired to be fired.
Well, I hope Bruce got a good mortgage from savewithconrad.com.
Yeah, they're boys.
Because Bruce just bought a house in Connecticut.
Oh, God. Yeah, be ready. But, you know, the fact that he's saying that right there. And for the fact that he knew about Eric Bischoff playing with fire, you know, this late in his career, it should have been like, ooh, I don't know about this. This is not. And Bischoff, we later found out that he was just kind of shadowing for a few months, more or less, instead of writing. Is that right?
Yeah, Justin Barrasso at SI had a lot of details on what happened to Eric Bischoff, and Eric Bischoff is going to make a statement on his 83 Weeks podcast, which airs on Monday, which comes out on Monday. It's a fabulous podcast, part of the Conrad Thompson Podcast Network.
Yep.
But Justin's piece essentially said that Eric would leave TV early. He was hard to get a hold of, and that doesn't work in that company. That is a 24/7 company, the WWE. And if Vince McMahon comes up with an idea at 3 o'clock, he's going to ring your phone. And if you don't answer, there's a problem.
Yep.
That's how he operates. He's a 24/7 employee. He's always thinking about how he can improve the WWE in his mind. And if he's got a character idea, there's the story of Steve Austin calling Vince at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And they had their discussion before Steve Austin walked out you know, that's how the old man is.
And you know what, Jimmy, you and I taped our last show on last Tuesday with AEW airing on Wednesday. I thought there was an outside shot that Bischoff would have been there for AEW. That would have been a huge splash if they had gotten him to Philadelphia. Imagine him being there at the start of that show.
No, nope, 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 nope.
You don't see that happening.
Nope,
But can you imagine that happening?
Here,
how crazy would that have been? Hypothetical. That place would have blown off the roof.
I get your hypothetical, Mike, But this is the difference between the two companies. This All is right, the difference ahead. Between WWE and AEW.
Yep.
WWE is obsessed with making sure that their competition does not get over. That's why they are hoarding wrestlers at this point.
Understood.
AEW has a long-term plan of how they want to do professional wrestling and how they're going to accomplish that. Now, could certain things help their process? Yes, absolutely. But Eric Bischoff is not part of that plan, I don't think, long or short term. Well, because I continuously hear the people in the know, with an exception shot here or there from Jericho or Cody,
right,
that they are not at war with WWE. They want to do their own thing. And that's why I think the first week of the Wednesday Night Wars, quote unquote, of NXT versus AEW, NXT was moving things around based on what AEW was doing. AEW came out with their plan, they executed their plan, and they were happy with that show.
Now, on the flip side, say Eric Bischoff were working for AEW, you know that Vince McMahon would have had him on the next flight to the SmackDown show on that Friday to say, yeah, we're at war, we got him here. That would have been more of a likely scenario comparing to what you're saying here with AEW not giving him that shot there, or just saying we're not at war, but Vince totally would have done it for the insecure, you know, scenario he is.
Yeah, I think that that's accurate. I think that, and I think one of the issues with WWE overall is they are trying to serve too many masters.
Way
and the master
many.
That they aren't serving is their fan base.
Yep.
They are trying to serve USA. They're trying to serve Fox. They're trying to serve the Prince of Saudi Arabia. And oh, by the way, if their fans get satisfied, awesome. But yeah. I generally don't think that the fans are being serviced. And here's why I don't think that way. Is yep. Remember the promo in 1997 where Vince McMahon is like, we're not going to do any more good guys versus bad guys.
Oh, yeah. That was the
and
start of the end.
That was around the time that it was doing this U.S. versus Canada storyline. Mm-hmm. With Bret Hart and the Hart Foundation against the Patriot, and they did that fabulous Calgary Stampede pay-per-view, and so on and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. But what happened in that era, in the 1997-98 time frame, yep. is it made wrestlers sports teams, in my opinion. And WWE is about characters. It's about character development. And their storylines and their character development has been very poor at times. But I think when you or I or the fans, they connect with a character, with a superstar, with a wrestler, they're all in. Like they're right. all in with the sports teams that they follow and have followed since the youngest memory. And sometimes creative writing and storytelling, while it doesn't help the character, the fan might cling more to the character if the fan feels like the character is being misused. It helps build that underdog feeling. And you know, the sports analogy is, you hear about Prospect X. Yeah. Oh, this guy's going to be great. So you start watching the minor league games, and you see him progress, and then they get to the big leagues, and they do something, and you're like, oh, I was there from the beginning. You know, my more recent example with that is, I was in on CM Punk early.
Mm-hmm.
With his Ring of Honor stuff, then he kind of whatever in OVW, and then he got to ECW and he was a good guy. And I remember telling my friend who was like, I don't get the CM Punk thing. And mm-hmm. I go, let him be a bad guy and then you'll get it. And then he turned into a bad guy. He did the Straight Edge Society and it was right. off to the races. He's like, yep, you were right about this. And mm-hmm. that's kind of how it is. And sure. so now specifically going back to, like, for me, it's Kevin Owens, it's Charlotte. It's right. So many more who right. it doesn't matter what side of the coin they are, whether they're a good guy or a bad guy, they are a personal favorite of mine, right. and I'm going to support them no matter what,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
unless they do something catastrophic, and then I have to, you know, back way
no,
away.
Of course, yeah.
But I mentioned the sports teams thing because I had a brief interaction with Mike Bennett on Twitter. This was before he cleared out all of his tweets and asked for his release, and now he's starting to tweet more, and you know, he's trying to get out. He's trying really aggressively to get out.
I mean, it was a week ago he asked for the release.
Yep, and he was local. He was hanging out with Brutal Bob Evans, who trained him and has been a big influence on him. He, of course, runs the wrestling school in Rhode Island with Matt Taven, XWA. If you're looking for information, you can reach out to me, and I'll give it to you.
Nice.
But I made that mention to Mike about how wrestlers are sometimes treated as sports teams.
Right.
And his response in short was, I never looked at it that way.
Mm.
So that's somebody who is a huge Boston sports fan who has never looked at it, who works in the industry and has never thought of himself as a sports team, as a sports brand, as a sports franchise.
Right.
And that kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Right.
Because you have these fans who support you no matter what side of the coin you're on, good guy or bad guy. And he never looked at it. I think he looked at it as kind of a fan loyalty, or they're not trained to look at it in a way that there's just blind support. So it's something interesting, and I think maybe it has affected the character development and the storyline process in WWE, is that there's no more good guys versus bad guys. There are these shades of gray.
Right.
And you know, one of the things that they're trying to do, and this is going to, when we get to, one of the things that I think they're trying to do is they're trying to tell you their story when the fans are looking at it as a totally different story.
Yep.
And that's where it gets lost, is there's no feel for what the fans want and what the fans understand versus what the WWE wants, specifically Vince McMahon, and what they're trying to tell you.
Yeah, no clear language, nothing to say, this is where we're going, this is who you should be rooting for, this is who you should be cheering against. We don't know. We really don't know, and there's a lot of confusion there, right?
It's confusing because Vince McMahon is looking at, so go back to Charlotte and Becky, right?
Right, who do you root for there?
Charlotte does everything right to get into the SummerSlam match of Becky Lynch versus Carmella.
Mm-hmm.
She wins this match. She wins this match. She's entered into a match that Becky Lynch had originally earned against Carmella. Now it's a three-way. Charlotte pins Carmella clean, or was it Becky clean?
I think it was
Becky, because it was Becky. Natural selection, while Becky had Carmella in the disarmer.
Correct.
Natural selection, 1, 2, 3. Charlotte wins the title.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the hug session, Charlotte and Becky, and then Becky pops Charlotte. And the crowd in Brooklyn went nuts for it because they saw it as Charlotte coming in the back door and taking away an opportunity that Becky Lynch has earned.
Mm-hmm.
And Becky was supposed to be the villain, according to Road Dogg on Twitter.
Yep.
But because the fans identified more with Becky, they made her the good guy and Charlotte the bad guy because Charlotte has gotten all of these opportunities and so on and so on and so forth. And the fans were sick of seeing Charlotte as the champion. And that's why the crowd flipped them. And they couldn't handle it. It was Charlotte and Becky who had to push the office and be like, no, this is what our audience is telling us. And then Becky was off to the races.
And the one great example, the most recent one I could think of with that not happening is John Cena. I mean, he had these chances here to make him heel super easy, people booing for him consistently over and over, but they wouldn't do it.
I know for a fact that John Cena did not want to be a villain.
Okay. All right. But then Roman Reigns, too, could have been with him. Kept getting booed.
Yeah, I don't know specifically about... I think that's a Vince McMahon call that Roman didn't want to be a villain.
It is, because Roman Reigns was Vince's real pet project.
Yeah.
He tried so hard to get Roman Reigns over. He really did. But the Cena one... Okay, so Cena did not want to be the villain. That makes sense.
I know that for a fact.
Okay. All right. So the Roman one, that's 100% of Vince one. That is a, I know that for a fact, that hit, that is his pet project there. So he had the final say in that. But, you know, that's the, you know, to your comparison, what you're saying with Charlotte and Becky, that's the best one I can think of there for the scenario of where that could have been the most recent time and the best place to turn someone into a heel like that.
So I'm going to transition this into a few Twitter questions. We asked for your Twitter questions. Elliot from Boston asked.
Great guy, Elliot.
I love Elliot.
Great guy.
Fabulous person. You should listen to the EFB podcast. If Bray beats Seth, his question is, if Bray beats Seth, then Raw's champion is a SmackDown superstar. If Bray loses, WWE would have effectively built The Fiend just to have Seth kill him. What's the best case scenario with this match at Crown Jewel? Elliot, my best case scenario is that it's a no contest. It's a non-finish. It's a ref stop. Oh, wait, we've done. Never mind. I think the scenario that's going to play out is Seth Rollins is going to beat Bray Wyatt, because the WWE storytelling is that Seth Rollins is the good guy and he is going to beat this evil demon named Bray Wyatt. Because remember, Mike, we make movies.
Right.
And despite what the crowd is telling them, that they like Bray Wyatt and they like that character and that they boo Seth Rollins at every opportunity, most of them do. I shouldn't say all, but there's a loud booing of Seth Rollins.
He's not, yeah. He's
that
not at the top.
They want Bray Wyatt as the champion. Now, where that goes from there, I'm not sure.
Right.
But I think that Bray Wyatt was built so quickly to be beaten by Seth Rollins. And as was noted to me by a friend, the way you beat Bray Wyatt is you take his mask off. Right? Like that's right. The simple thing. That's the horror movie thing.
Right.
How do you beat Freddy or Jason?
Right. Exactly. And the other thing too, you know, Elliot, my
Oh wait, that's ref stoppage. I'm sorry. Ref stoppage.
Well, my best case scenario for it would be, and it just, you know, it's not going to happen because Seth Rollins is on Raw. The Fiend is on SmackDown. And sure, it'd be great if The Fiend wins and you throw him on Raw there, then you have a feud with he and Seth Rollins. But I think the best case scenario is for The Fiend Bray Wyatt to win the Universal title. He brings it back to SmackDown, and then it's not going to happen. I'm telling you again, you unify the titles where you have one champion, just one, because this two championship thing, Universal, WWE, too much. I want one championship. Maybe it's maybe an old school. We don't need two. We just need one champion all around.
So I think that there should be one WWE champion, and he should be on both shows.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an Intercontinental and you have a US champion that are exclusive to one show, and you have one set of tag team champions. You have
one
women's champion, and you have the women's tag team champions. And the women's singles champion goes to both shows. So, for example, because you can main event shows now with Becky Lynch or whoever the women's champion is, you can main event shows. One week, the WWE champion is main eventing Raw. The next same week, SmackDown is main evented by the Raw women's champion.
Right.
That's how you can do things now. You can do it. And if you're talking about live events, you can run two towns and do the same thing. You
right.
have plenty of talent.
Exactly. And then the tag team, just do one tag team. I don't want both brands for that right there. One tag team champion. And the other thing, too, we started to see this a couple of years ago when they did the draft in 2016. 16, excuse me. And it was where we had, you know, brand-specific pay-per-views. Go back to that. If you're going to have all these titles out there, go back to that. I don't want the mixed pay-per-views again with all these titles out there. Too much. Keep it one brand specific. That's it.
And also two nights of WrestleMania. Question from OK Fabe on Twitter.
Nice guy.
Coming off the draft and SmackDown moved to Fox, what would you say is the pivotal steps WWE needs to do in order to have a strong end of 2019 heading into Mania season? This could be creatively, ratings, anything. Love the show. For me, it's really simple, You pick one good guy, one bad guy, and you build them. The WWE can do this. Look at Kofi Kingston. And it's really as simple as that. Look at what they did with Bray Wyatt. They built a right. monster. So they have the ability to build these people, and then it's what you do with it going forward. They can do this.
It's not hard. Just
and that's what they need to do.
Yep. Have them ride that hot hand. I think that's your best bet there. Really determine who is going to be, you know, the favorite. Really have the bragging rights start now, right after the Survivor Series, going toward the Royal Rumble. Someone to want to chase that championship, a dream they've never had, and their only way to get a shot at the title is by winning the Royal Rumble. Build up that individual right there. Put them on that pedestal to get them at the main event match that they deserve at WrestleMania.
From our friend Lauren, what feuds do you see next for the Four Horsewomen? Well, that's easy. Becky and Charlotte are really going to fight forever.
Yep.
Sasha and Bayley will be fighting each other at some point. As I mentioned earlier, I'm intrigued by this dark villain Bayley character. Yeah. They should have really done this a week or so after Bayley cashed in on Charlotte at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, but better late than never. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this character was a last-minute change, as was Charlotte going from SmackDown to Raw. I assume in the short term it's Sasha and Bayley against the world, and it really will be Charlotte and Becky just fight forever.
Yeah. Sounds right. I'm with you on that. I also think that Shayna Baszler is going to get that call up sooner than later.
Oh, is this inside info?
No.
Will Birdie tell you this?
No. I think it will happen after WrestleMania, though. I think that's a fair assessment. Just a hot take. Not maybe medium hot take. But I think that she would be a good feud with, i.e. a Charlotte or a Becky Lynch. You know, now with the brand split here, Sasha and Bayley, you could have them go with Carmella. Dana Brooke is on there now. Give them a chance to go
Nikki
up against
Nikki Cross.
Yeah, Nikki Cross, exactly.
Alexa Bliss.
Right? Make them all singles again. So stuff like that. But Becky and Charlotte will always be at the top. And whoever's going to be fighting with them, you know, in the same performance as them, the same program, they're in for a good ride.
Joe Murray submitted a question from the Over Under 98.5 podcast. He wants to
know, Joe.
I'll quote his tweet to us. Darby Allin, double exclamation point. Can this guy get over? Does he remind you of Finn Balor? First of all, Finn Balor is way better than Darby Allin. But the idea is Darby Allin is half dead, I think. Whereas Finn Balor is more of a demon character, and if I have that wrong, that's my fault for being ignorant on the Darby Allender character.
That sounds right.
But I watched him Saturday night, actually. I was at a Northeast Wrestling show in Bethany, Connecticut.
A
little town hall action. And I felt his match was kind of blah.
Oh, okay.
And that's coming off a match with Chris Jericho, which I thought was really awesome.
Yeah.
So as it relates to Darby Allin, he's young. I think he's young. He looks young.
22 years old.
So he's probably got a big upside, but he's got a lot to learn. And he's got a little bit of an ego, I'm told.
Oh.
A little bit of an ego. Thinks his crap don't stink.
Oh, interesting.
Good guy, but now he's signed with AEW, kind of a little too big for his britches. Little ego thing.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, for
just something to watch.
Yeah. No, that's fair. For a 22 year old, I mean, he's been thrown in there. He already had his match with Cody Rhodes at the Fyter Fest event, and now he gets a shot there against Chris Jericho. I don't know if I'd put him on that pedestal too to compare him, you know, like not over yet with Finn Balor. I mean, AEW is still so young, where they're still developing guys, and here's a Darby Allin, but put into a good position right there in a championship match with Chris Jericho definitely helps develop his character. I think with the makeup is why Joe said that there, why he kind of looks.
Bruce, take your pills.
Yeah, I know. But I don't think he's Finn Balor right now at this very moment. No.
So that concludes all the questions that I have here.
Oh, wait, wasn't there one more, though? Somebody wanted to know why you didn't like someone? Somebody wanted to know why does @SMon, he wants to know, why does Jimmy not like Cody so much?
Cody's always been good to me. I'm just echoing some stories that I've heard about Cody.
Okay. Even after what I told you last week?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Which is fine, because for every good story, you know, there's the thing in sports where the guy signs autographs for 50 people, and then it's right. The 51st person who doesn't sign the autograph, and he just MFs him. I go back to this. Cody has always been really good to me.
Right.
Really nice, really accommodating with his time.
Yeah.
But I've heard stories where he's not exactly on the level with everybody.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I'm trying to give you a little bit of insight from what people have told me about him. And okay. I think I always disclaimer it by saying, hey, like, Cody's always been really good to me. In fact, recently I pulled a clip from a conversation I had with Cody a few years ago, right before he won the Ring of Honor Championship, about, you know, his thoughts on wrestling and wrestling for the championship and the reality of pro wrestling.
Yep.
And one of the vignettes that they did on AEW really, I think, put that over, where he's sitting in his kitchen and Brandy's trying to go over other things with him, and Cody's just trying to focus on his match with Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking for more reasons to like Cody, the on-screen character, he had a kid pin him after the show on AEW. It's on YouTube. Go out there and check out AEW's YouTube channel. There was a kid who's dressed in the front row as Orange Cassidy,
mm-hmm.
and they brought him in the ring. Cody got a referee out there, and for this kid's birthday, he got to pin Cody Rhodes. And Cody Rhodes joked with the Young Bucks, said, oh, Cody, does that count against your win-loss record? And Cody's like, send that kid to Full Gear in Baltimore because he's challenging Chris Jericho, which he's obviously not. But no, a great birthday present.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
What a great
that.
Birthday present.
Yeah. So good
kid
for him.
Gets pulled out of the front row, gets put in the ring. Happy birthday. You get to pin Cody Rhodes.
Don't get better than that. Not bad at all. Not
so that's the good stuff, right? Like, that's the good side of pro wrestling.
Right. Exactly. I love that.
We talk about friendships that we've made in pro wrestling. That's one of the cool moments in pro wrestling.
Positively. So,
Mike, anything before we wrap up here?
So, two things, Jimmy. I just wanted to once again put a plug out here, because we are coming up about 2 weeks away from Mick Foley's Have a Nice Day tour, Sunday, November 3rd at the Kowloon Restaurant in Saugus. Tickets still available. You get a VIP option and a general admission one. You got to call 781-484-6002. 781-484-6002. Monday through Friday, 12 to 5 o'clock is when that's open to purchase your tickets. And also, Jimmy, every week I know you do mention at the beginning about some of our other podcasts here in the B-Pod Studio Network, including our good friends Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz Over Under. But I do want to plug our other good friend, Matt McCarthy, Hardcore Baseball, does a really good job, because the World Series starts this week. So I know he's got a new show coming out early in the week. So be sure to listen to that. Always enjoy Matt's great content there. Hardcore Baseball. If you're a baseball fan or a sports fan in general, check it out.
So I want to close with a congratulations to you, Mike Riley.
Oh, thank you. For what?
You did a wonderful job as the Bruins public address announcer the other night. And you should get this job. I heard some of the clips raw, like without the crowd noise and everything, and this is the good stuff. This is what you do really, really well, is you articulate people's names. You have good timing on this stuff. This should be your job. So I hope that you get it, and if there's a phone call that I can make or bribe that I can throw out to somebody, I can get somebody front row Celtics tickets from the Bruins organization if they need it. I could probably get them front row NXT tickets at some point. If somebody with power in the Bruins would like to hire you for that job, I'm not above bribing them if need be. Because as we know, Mike, everybody has a price.
Thank you, James. I really appreciate that. That's very kind of you. And I'm going to let you repeat that line one more time because that's a great line. So thank you.
Everybody has a price.
And everybody's going to pay.
I love Ted DiBiase. He's one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, thank you for that very nice comment, Jimmy. That was very kind of you.
It's hard to get positive feedback out of me. So you should download this podcast, mark tape,
and
save this into your files.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to my grandkids down the line, too.
Yes, yes.
Do you know anyone in the Bruins to make a call?
I know a lot of people in the Bruins.
Boston goal, a power play goal, scored by number 88, David Pastrnak. Assisted by number 63, Brad Marchand, and number 47, Tory Krug. Time of the goal, 16:55. That is Pastrnak's second goal of the game from Marchand and Krug at 16:55.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. From Mike Riley, the next Boston Bruins public address announcer, at Sarge985. The show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at I Am James Stewart and Stun Owen Stun.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.